News.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I'm all on my lonesome because she's let me down again this week. She's recovering from her New Year's hangover, is our Jules, but we're expecting her back next week. Anyway, we've got two fantastic guests to hear from today. But first off, I promised my lovely grandson, Bear, I would wish him a Happy New Year on air. So Happy New Year, Bear. Bear and his mummy and daddy joined us to celebrate Christmas, Lucy's birthday, Bear's mummy Sophia's birthday, and the New Year. And we've had a lovely, lovely time. And Bear actually saw snow for the first time. So Bear and Lucy built a huge snowman in the back of our garden. So we've had a fabulous time, and I hope all of you have had a fabulous time too. We wish Bear, Lucy, Sophia, Jamie, and everyone else, and all of you out there, a happy, successful, and healthy 2023. Right. Of course, we, as always, we'd love to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England and wider afield these days. Do give us a tweet. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb. Use the hashtag BBunker so that I can find you, and I'll happily give you a shout out. We've had quite a few tweets already. So let me start off by reading some of those. Martin Reeves of Collector's Buddy says, what an interesting guest lineup. I'm listening live. So thank you, Martin. Happy New Year to you. And Martin's a great supporter of the show, so we really appreciate that. Thank you, Martin. You can follow Martin on Twitter at Buddy Collectors. So do give Martin a follow. What's on in Kent? Happy New Year from all the team here. Have a great show, guys. So thank you. What's on in Kent is a brilliant, brilliant app. I suggest you download it. It's a free app. It tells you everything that's going on in the county, you know, for all kinds of things, business events, leisure events, kids events, everything. It's a fantastic app. Do download it from Play Store or the Apple Store. What else have we got? Chips and Dinks, Bev and Tony, a new year is here, but no change. Another great lineup of guests on the Business Bunker Show, supporting small business owners, businesses, SMEs and local business. Happy New Year to you all. Thank you, Bev. That's Bev and Tony, Chips and Dinks. Chips and Dinks repair all those chips and dinks that you get to your vehicles, but they do much more than that. They do loads of interesting stuff. They upcycle things. They upcycle furniture. They restore furniture. They all kinds of things. Give them a follow. Chips and Dinks. That's with a full and, A-N-D, in between. Chips and Dinks. Do give them a follow. They're brilliant. And the lovely folks at Athelbray Management Training, they say, Happy New Year to the Business Bunker team and listeners. 2023 has got to be good. Well, we're keeping our fingers crossed, Kate. I mean, we really are. The last couple of years have been pretty dire for a lot of people, really, haven't they? So let's all hope that 2023 we start to kind of move towards the light and have a far better year than we have done for the last couple of years. Right. I've got loads of things to tell you about. So let's kick off with some of those things that are happening over the next couple of weeks. There's a Women in Business Medway and North Kent monthly meeting taking place manana tomorrow, Wednesday, January the 4th. And it's taking place at 6:30 in the afternoon, early evening, at the Wisdom Hospice Rochester. If you'd like to find out more about that event or to book your tickets, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you will find it amongst the events there in date order. So it'll be at the top because it's tomorrow. And then coming up, we have Maidstone Business Boost. This is part of Business in Maidstone, the Business Terrace, and they have a startup workshop. And it's a free startup workshop, and it's taking place on Wednesday, the 18th of January, between 9:30 a.m. and 3 p.m. And it's the perfect opportunity to hear from industry specialists with free tips and guidance to boost your business. So if you're thinking of going and starting your own business, or if you have just recently started your own business and you want some more help, support and advice, I suggest you get along to this Wednesday, the 18th of January at the Business Terrace in King Street, Maidstone, 9:30 till 3. You can find out all about it again by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. Now, the next event that we're going to talk about is a little bit of a specialised one. But hey, in a county like Kent, the Garden of England, there's quite a few people involved in this because it's the Kent Farming Conference. It's the Kent Farming Conference 2023. And it's going to delve into the future of farming, covering topics such as innovation and sustainability. It's taking place on Wednesday, the 25th of January, and it's from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. Interesting. I guess farmers can only go away when it's dark, can't they? Because they can't work on the farm in the dark. And it's taking place at the Kent County Agricultural Society. That's at the showground at Detling, as I say, Wednesday the 25th of January. And once again, if you want to find out more about what's going on at that conference or to book your tickets, then kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar is the place to go. And that's also the place to go to see all the events that are coming up over January and February this year. Okay, this came across my desk yesterday, and it's interesting. I haven't had a chance to check out exactly what it's all about, but it certainly looks interesting, and let's hope it lives up to its billing. Vodafone have unveiled its new Business Pro 2 broadband packages for small businesses. Vodafone Business Pro 2 plans come with the new Vodafone Ultra Hub and Super Wi-Fi 6E Booster, delivering super-fast Wi-Fi technology throughout your office. Both devices use the latest Wi-Fi 6E technology, the first of any major broadband provider, and can connect over 150 devices simultaneously, yet the package only costs £30 a month. Business Pro 2 full fibre plans range from 36 megabytes to 910 megabytes, average download speeds. Andrew Stevens, head of UK small and medium business at Vodafone, said Business Pro 2 sets the new standard for business broadband technology. Our game-changing Vodafone Ultra Hub combines the UK's fastest and most reliable Wi-Fi signal with our full fibre footprint to help businesses connect more employees and devices than ever before. And with growing uncertainty in the UK economy for the foreseeable future, small businesses can ensure their operations aren't disrupted and to keep them moving forward. Well, let's hope so. Let's hope it's not the kind of thing that they normally come out with, where they promote all this wonderful fast fiber-based stuff, and then when you try and get it at your address, they go, oh no, we don't cover there. I don't know, I haven't had a chance to check it out, but if you're at all interested in getting decent broadband somewhere, then have a look at Vodafone's Business Pro 2 and see if it suits you. It would be nice to get good quality broadband, especially in rural areas, but I don't hold out my breath too much. I came across a new company laying fibre optics in Tenterton, which is the town I live, and I got really, really excited, contacted them and said, oh, can I have it? And they went, oh, no, sorry, we're not coming to your house. We're not even planning to come to your house. You live, you know, like 10 minutes away from the middle of the town. It's a shame, but we'll get there eventually, I expect and hope. We shall see. Anyway, do keep your tweets coming. Jules is tweeting like mad. Sadly, Jules was not very well before Christmas, so she missed the last show before Christmas and was unwell. And I was unable to give her her Christmas present, which sadly died over Christmas. I'd wrapped it up all nicely, but I didn't feed and water it. So it died, which is a shame, because it was a lovely puppy. No. It wasn't a puppy, actually. It was a house plant. Don't worry. So I'll have to get her something else now, won't I? So sorry about that. Anyway, Jules is tweeting away like mad with normal nonsense. Do check it out, Jules Sirkin, on Twitter, and see what she's saying. Right, let's see if we've got anything else here. Matthew Dorrington has tweeted, Villeneuve, please, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out? Wish everybody a happy new year from me, Matthew Dorrington, and the team at Blue Moxie Agency. And I happen to know those guys specialise in SEO and all things similar to that. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. You can follow Blue Moxie, M-O-X-I-E, Agency, or Matthew himself, Matthew with a double T, Dorrington, D-O-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N, _. Is his Twitter handle. Sam Kelly, the lovely Sam Kelly, the tweeting goddess, has tweeted, really looking forward to listening to Clodagh and the other guests on the Business Bunker show today. So thank you for that, Sam. And it was actually Sam that introduced me to Clodagh. And what a fantastic thing that is, because that's going to be a really interesting interview. Apparently, according to Jules, I ought to concentrate on twiddling my knobs. I am doing that, Jules. Nurse Liz over on the east coast of the US says, I've killed cacti, succulent bonsai and tropical flowering plants. I was saying to Jules after I killed a poinsettia that the only thing I can keep alive is a cacti because, you know, they can survive. But Liz is saying she's killed cacti, succulent bonsai and tropical flowering plants. They don't like to be overwatered. It's the kiss of death. Too little is bad. My plant theory is survival of the fittest. She said, yet people still give me plants. I grow herbs and hot peppers. Not picky plants. I understand, Liz, fully. I'm terrible with plants. Nothing survives me. Even hardy garden plants just don't survive when I plant them. It's I have anti-green fingers. I don't know what all that's about. Anyway, not to worry. Right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play some cheesy tunage in a minute in homage to our first guest. And the first guest on the show is Clodagh McKaminsky. And Clodagh runs a company called Spiritual Earth. But she has an incredibly interesting background as well. Her company's fantastic, but she's got an interesting background. For many years, she worked in crisis management, humanitarian aid, and disaster relief around various places in the world, but spent a long time in Africa. So it was a fantastic opportunity for me to grab some cheesy tunage, which is my son Stuart's a cappella version of Africa. Here we go.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Kaloda Makamiski. See, I knew I'd mess it up straight away. Put me right.
That was very good. Kaloda Makamiski.
Kaloda. No, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you as a very first guest on our very first show of 2023. To see your lovely smiling face this afternoon is wonderful. So thank you for joining us. What I'd like you to do, because I know we're very keen on hearing about your business, which is Spiritual Earth, but I know you've got a very interesting background as well. So would you mind kicking off by telling us a little bit about Kaloda and your background and then how you got into your business before we start looking at your business?
Okay, very good, Paul. So first of all, it's a great start to the new year for myself. Delighted to be here. So thank you. This is my first kind of formal meeting of the year. So really, really happy. It's brilliant. A great start. So in terms of my own backstory, so I'm from Ireland, born in Dublin. And when I was in university, I studied way back when, many years ago in the early 90s, I studied late 80s also, I studied economics. And okay. Then after I did a degree in economics. And then there was one course that I was particularly fascinated by. It was development economics. So it was around economics of international development. So that drew me to a career in overseas aid work. So I did that for 14, almost 15 years. I worked in emergency spots mainly. I worked in Angola, Ethiopia, wow, India, East Timor, and Swaziland. So I worked largely, not so much Ethiopia, but in the other places, it was more in the during and in the aftermath of man-made and natural disasters.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whether that was war, drought, flood, tsunamis, earthquakes, HIV epidemics. So just a lot of different crisis situations, some of them man-made and some of them natural.
Yeah.
And I suppose that gave me a big, you know, that impacted on me. It gave me a big library of experiences. You know, you see the worst in life, but you see the best in people in, you know, when people are under pressure. Yeah. So you see extremes. And I suppose before that, my father was a civil engineer. So he had done some stints in Africa and he had also worked in the Middle East as well. And so when I was 7 and 8 years of age, I went to school for just over a year in the Middle East, in Bahrain. So yeah. I suppose that's really where, that's what sparked the lifelong interest in travel and meeting people from different cultures and backgrounds with different approaches to life and philosophies. So, and then like with any of us, you know, life happens. And my mum got sick. So I was kind of moving along with my aid work. And then my mum got sick in 2008. She had a stroke. So I decided I'd come home and help out for 6 months.
Right.
And I'm still here. Right. And so was she, actually. Yeah. So
oh, brilliant. I was kind of loath to ask, but I really needed to know. So I'm glad you said. Yeah. And is she well now?
She's, you know, she has her health problems, but she has a good attitude and, you know, all of that. And so she's still with us. And we had a lovely Christmas together with the rest of the family.
So
life happens. Right. And I came home for 6 months, and having lived in these different environments, I had become fascinated by how some people would get stressed over small things and other people would thrive in times of adversity. And, you know, they're very resourceful. They come up with phenomenal ideas. Yeah. You know, they come alive. Yeah. And it's not that they're thriving on other people's misery, but they just come alive. They're firing on all cylinders and they show up in incredible ways.
Do you find that that's primarily because they're problem solvers in life, or is that too simplistic?
I don't fully know. Like I've heard a term that it's the adaptive third. It's just the people that are more practical in situations. Yeah. They just adapt to whatever is in front of them. And I don't think it's entirely predictable. Sometimes we think I'd be great in this type of a situation, but you can't fully predict or fully assess. Like I was reading about some hospital workers that had done aid work. And then when they were working during COVID, they found that more overwhelming than they would have in Africa or Asia because it was on their own doorstep. Do you know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. And that's a really good point. You know, it's not just that whatever's stressing you or whatever the crisis is, it's your circumstances around that as well, isn't it? You know, it's how you are personally, where you are personally in your life, physically where you are, the culture that you're in. I guess all of those things have an impact on how you react to anything.
Exactly. And you know, and that's a really good point. And it's another point that really, moved me was understanding that, you know, it's not so much about what's going on. It's about how you're responding internally to what's going on, whether you're responding or reacting or, you know, how you're addressing things. And, you know, sometimes we can get stuck on one thing. You know, sometimes there might be a phenomenally complex situation and one aspect of it you can't accept. And that keeps you stuck or that trips you up. Yeah. You know, there's one bit that you can't let go of. And that happens in all of our lives, you know, whether, just in the normal cycles of life. Yeah. So I discovered a lot about myself and just from observing people in these really, really high stress situations. As I said, some people, you know, rose to the occasion. And then some people would fall apart in smaller situations. And this wasn't just in Africa, but just in my own life. I remember I had a real kind of moment of epiphany. I was living in Angola at the time. And, you know, I was living in a situation where in a country that was had the second longest running civil war in Africa, there were more landmines than people. You know, there was the Cold War was fought by proxy. One side was had oil and the other side had diamonds. And, you know, it was a very complex type of a situation. And then I remember coming home and it was the longest time that I was away for. I think I was away for 13 months. Normally I came back every year, but I was away for a longer time. So it hit me hard, you know, when I came home. And my mum's friends in Dublin, somebody was upset about matching colours of curtains, you know, and I was... You know what I mean? So it was just I was it was very much, you know, that reminder of first world problems and whatever. And but I suppose so that I think people sometimes call it reverse culture shock, you know, when you come back to where you're from and it's hard to settle in. So that would have been a factor too, right?
It's fascinating, isn't it? Isn't it fascinating how we respond to these things? And you're absolutely right. And it's a really important... I mean, I'm as bad... When I was... I'm knocking on now and I'm getting really old. When I was younger, I was really quite good at handling stress and stuff. As I get older, I get more and more finicky about sillier and sillier things, you know? Like you say, the curtains not matching really drive me nuts. Or, you know, people not putting dirty plates in the dishwasher, you know, leaving them on the side. And that stuff drives me bonkers. And you go, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, there's no point in getting upset about it. But it is, isn't it? It's about your circumstances.
It's about your circumstances and how you see them. And, you know, what lens are you looking at the world at? Yeah. Are you seeing the glass half full or the glass half empty? And it's good to want, you know, things to be better and all of that. But allowing yourself to lose sleep over things not being perfect is that's another, you know, situation. So I think that they say that anxiety comes from an unhealthy focus on the future. Yeah. So, and then depression is more associated with an unhealthy focus on the past and comparing with the present. Yeah. And, so I suppose, you know, we're more happy when we're more in the present moment. We're also more productive. We have better quality relationships just by being in the now and you know, making the best of the now. But I'll go back to the story, right? Yeah. And so. You know, when I came home, I just decided to come home, you know, to be there for my mom with the intention of going back overseas. But obviously, when I when I came back, I realized that, you know, this situation warranted more than been here for 6 months, you know. So on some level, I had to kind of reinvent myself, but I also had to get my own head sorted because it was a massive adjustment having lived in these, you know, very fast paced situations where life and death were a daily reality. And I come back to this much more kind of sanitized, you know, world where, those threats, those daily threats weren't there, right? Certainly not at that level. Mm. And so I came home and I had this idea. I suppose I was trying to adjust myself. I had my own stresses myself. And one thing I learned about myself is that if you put me into a very difficult situation, I'll rise to the occasion. I'm good in a crisis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's for somebody like myself, it was not dealing with the smaller stresses, you know, just being a little bit of an ostrich, you know, and not dealing with small problems, and then they escalate to bigger problems. That would be more my tendency if I don't manage myself properly.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are like that, you know, by not dealing with stuff, we create our own problems by avoiding pushing ourselves out of the comfort zone, or, you know, you're having a difficulty with a person and you don't deal with it and it escalates, it snowballs. Yeah. And you know, when we don't deal with problems, they rarely go away. They normally get worse, right? They seem to kind of, a vacuum kind of grows them, right? Yeah. So so I had this idea that meditation would help me. And while I'd lived in India, that was one of the countries that I'd lived in for 4 years. Mm. I'd started doing yoga, and so I'd had some experience of those types of, you know, calming practices.
Sure.
But I started meditating, and somehow or other, it enabled me to just access this place of peace, this place of calm, that I'd never really fully experienced. You know, I would have moments of it in daily life. You know, if you went for a nice walk on the beach, I'd plug into calm, but it wasn't something I could generate for myself in my daily life. Wow. And meditation allowed that for me. And it was a big, just a game changer, yeah, in lots of ways.
Can I ask you a question now? Someone that has been in very dynamic environments, you know, in very difficult circumstances, your ability to adapt to meditation, did you find that easy? Or, you know, did it take you quite a period of time before you could meditate effectively? What I'm trying to say is, a few years ago, I went on a mindfulness course, which I thought was incredibly good, except that I kept going, I wonder if I can make a business out of this. I wonder how much money they make doing it. And the instructor was a friend of mine, going, Paul, you're not doing this properly. You know, you keep wandering off. How did you find the process of adapting to a meditation and yoga regime?
Okay, so if you had met me, you know, 15 years ago, my head was like a washing machine, you know, on full spin most of the time, right? And, you know, if I was at work, I would intensely focus on that. If I had a specific task, but when I was in my own life, if I was doing this, I thought I should be doing that. And if I was doing that, I thought I should be doing the other. You know, there was a lot of questioning and busyness in my head. And if it can work for me, it can work from anybody. But I think it's with practice. It's also with the right instruction. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could...
Yeah.
Different practices suit different people. Some people it's more movement, some people it's a mantra, some people it's breath work. You know, there's a time and a place, and even just the right way of explaining something to somebody. Yeah. It's the thing with meditation is that we benefit when we practice, not when we master or perfect it. So even if your mind is in fifth gear, and just say you bring it down to third gear, that's good.
Yeah.
Even if you sit there for 5 minutes and you experience 15 seconds of calm, that's good. Yeah. It's about kind of understanding that, you know, when you go, if you decide to run a marathon, you don't run a marathon after one training session. You know, it takes 9 months to prepare or whatever. And I think with something like meditation, it's similar. So it's just about, you know, when you're at the right place and the right time in your life to hear it, and you get the right, you know, words. And if somebody's listening and they've tried it before, I would encourage you to try a different practice. Yeah, because there's a practice there for everybody.
Absolutely. Okay, so 2008, you came back to look after your mum, and you've obviously done a reasonable job of that because your mum's still thriving. Is that when you launched your business?
No, not straight away. Initially, I suppose for the first while, I thought I might go back, or, you know, I was just settling in. I was adjusting myself, you know, all of those things. And initially I launched, after a year or two, I launched a business, because I'm somebody, I like to be busy. I like to be doing something, you know, I have to have a job. I, you know, whether it's paid or unpaid, I like to be involved in life. Yeah. And so I first, I started a business importing stuff.
Right.
And this was my first business. I'd never had a business. And I, you know, in hindsight, I probably didn't really, you know, when you're doing something for the first time, you don't do it as well as you might. I was somebody that I'd been used to a different sector. I'd worked in kind of an NGO sector. I'd always had jobs. I've had lots of different jobs in my life. I've worked in a hospital. I've worked in shops. I've worked in hospitality, you know, all sorts of sectors, and you know, tried out lots of things, babysitting, everything. But I'd never run my own business. And I think running your own business is very challenging. It's a personal development program. You know, it's a real crash course in confidence building and in personal development and whatever. So I did that, but I never could quite make a success of it. And then after 2-3 years of, you know, that was one thing I did. And then I started teaching meditation just kind of on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it had worked for me. So I was just doing it more as a kind of a hobby business, a side business. Yeah. And then about 7 years ago, after kind of moving on from the import stuff, right, I committed to doing wellbeing at work programs.
Right.
And so I go into businesses and I help staff be less stressed, more productive, more happy in themselves, educate people about stress. I help people understand themselves, their well-being, and convert stresses to strengths so that they can be happier within themselves, and that makes them more well and more productive at work, in life, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where your business is positioned now. You're offering wellness programs to businesses. Do you do individual programs as well as business programs, or is it primarily business programs?
No, I also do some coaching as well. So I would normally have, I like variety in my life, as you can see from my past, right? So I would always, most of the business focuses on kind of corporate well-being, but I would also work with certain individuals, and I also teach meditation. I teach Zoom classes on meditation. I teach 3 meditation classes every week because I feel meditation is such a great anchor for people. And when you can be clear and calm, you can make the best decisions in your daily life. And meditation is a great tool that enables that for people.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? In my experience anyway, both when I had a proper job many, many years ago, and I've been in business myself 30 years now, but in both areas, productivity is very heavily impacted by colleagues at work's anxiety, stress levels, and all the rest of it. And especially in bigger organizations, one of the things I find is frontline staff tend to suffer quite a lot from anxiety and stress because they don't feel in control of what's going on in their business lives. You know, orders come down from above and they go, well, that's not what we need to do here. And they get very stressed by it. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, what I'm saying is I fully get the need for well-being at work. It's an incredibly important subject. It's an economic thing as much as anything else, because productivity is really badly impacted by these kind of things. So it is a productivity aid as well as a mental wellness aid. One of the things I wanted to ask you, though, and whether you've seen this get worse as a situation, if you like, is this move to working from home and working remotely. You know, following on the pandemic and when we were locked down and people were sent to work from home and then didn't want to come back to work because they were working at home. But I wondered if the stress levels, if that's increased stress levels or reduced stress levels, in your opinion.
Okay, so a really good question. And look, everybody's circumstances are individual. And so we can talk on average, but everybody's circumstances will be unique and individual. And I would say that in my understanding, just from if I take examples of the clients that I work with myself, initially, a lot of people some people really loved the opportunity to work at home. Right. Yeah. But a lot of it, I think, depends on your personal living circumstances. Yeah? If you live in a nice house and it's spacious and comfortable and everybody can find their own room to work in, it's, you know, it's probably help you thrive in a nicer way. But if you're kind of crammed into an apartment,
So and your broadband doesn't work. Exactly.
So your environment is a huge factor, right? And a few people have said that to me, that it, even they observed it within their own offices, that the people who had a nice, comfortable home, you know, they were happy. And the other people were first back to work, back to the office when they could, when that change and that opportunity came about. But more recently, I've been speaking to people. I think that over time, if you're working from home and you're not reaching out to people in other ways and meeting people in other ways, certain parts of the business process get missed out on, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in the water cooler moments. You know, you're connecting with people, ideas, innovation, all of that. And that massively affects problem solving and productivity.
Yeah.
That can easily get missed out on unless you design other ways to build that in. And then the other thing that I found is that some people have said that for the first year it worked really well for them, but now they find themselves retreating into themselves. So I would say that this problem, this could bring other problems in the future, and that we all have to kind of manage ourselves. But, you know, sometimes when you become more retreated into yourself, you don't notice it until that's actually a problem. It can kind of, you can go in on yourself and then 6 months later, you can realize that I'm grouchier or I'm more negative or I'm more depressed. So I would say that even people who are doing well at it or thought it was a great thing, a lot of people are changing their mind around it as well now. So I think it's not a panacea. Yeah, it works really well for some people, and it affords people opportunities to be anywhere in the world. You know, there's a lot of pluses, but there's downsides that really need to be managed for the productivity and of the business, and then also for the individual well-being of people. And I think also managers need to do a really good job if they're managing some people remote, some people when they're managing hybrid teams. You know, it's very easy for people to feel left out of something, Paul. Yeah. When
they're not.
You know, all that kind of tension can build within a team because people feel, well, you have more access or, you know, so there's a lot of variables. So it's hard to generalize, but we're social animals. We're social creatures. We need people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kaido, thank you so much for that. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And we love what you're doing and we love the background and where you came from to do what you're doing. If people want to find out more about Spiritual Earth, how can they do that? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
The best way is to go to my website. It's spiritualearth.com. And the other way is you can find me on LinkedIn, Kaloda McComiskey. You'll find me on LinkedIn. And I will also, I'll leave all the links in the chat. But info@spiritualearths.com is a good email to get me at, or Kaloda@spiritualearth.com.
Fantastic. We'll put all of that on the Kent Business Radio website. For the moment, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of 2023, and we'll speak to you again soon, hopefully.
Thanks a million, Paul. Really enjoyed connecting with you. Great start to my year, and happy new year to you and to all the listeners today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic interview that was. The wonderful Kaloda McComiskey of Spiritual Earth. Brilliant backstory, a lovely business that she's started and developing. Do check it out. SpiritualEarth.com is her website with all her contact details there if you want to know more about the kind of stuff that Kaloda is doing. Right, and I've just, my phone's just gone off the air, which is no use at all because it means I can't read any more of your tweets. Let's see what I can do. Oh, right, got it back. Intune PR have tweeted, and they said, Business Bunker, yes, lots of business in there, but if you like light entertainment comedy with topics as diverse as Mexican squirrels, thyroids, diets, juicy gossip, and Kentish insights, this is a great show. That's very true, Darren, except that the other half of this double act isn't here this week, so the kind of comedy element's a bit on the light side because there's no one to talk to. But you're quite right. Normally, there's lots of banter going on in the studio, and Jules will be back next week to bring lots of gossip and health details, probably, amongst other things. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's hear these messages.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
I'd like to say a massive thank you, actually, to all of the people, all of the organisations that sponsored the Business Bunker Show during 2022. That's Lock Associates, Telford's Accountants, Tannis IFA, We Do Social Media, Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, and DG East. Thank you all very much for your support in 2022. Without it, we wouldn't have been on the air, and we look forward to a happy 2023 here in the studio in Ashford on Channel Radio with the Business Bunker Show. I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent. She says, good afternoon and very happy new year to everyone. I would love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show, please. Have a wonderful day. Well, thank you, Kim. As I say, Kim runs Caring Kent. It's a private home care for the elderly and care in your own home. So do follow her on Twitter. Care in Kent is Kim's Twitter handle, and lovely folks they are too. So if you've got someone that needs help in their home, being looked after in the Ashford area, then give Kim a shout. What else have we got? I've got tweets coming in on 2 or 3 different accounts, so I have to keep swapping between accounts to catch up with them all. Let's see what we got back here. Okie doke. Cool. Right. Age UK Herne Bay have tweeted to say hello. Hi there. Sam Kelly is saying in regard to Kaloda's interview that my experience of meditation sounds exactly what I would be thinking too. Yeah, I find it really difficult to switch my brain off. And of course, that's the whole point, isn't it? Is to switch your brain off. Lisa Settle says, Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you, Lisa. I hope you and your family are all very well. And give my special regards to your mum and dad, Eileen and Alan. They sent me a lovely Christmas card, and I couldn't reply because I don't know their address. So do send them my best wishes for 2023. Right, what else have we got here? I'm getting messages coming in all over the place. And on WhatsApp now. Which is fine, you know, I love receiving your messages, but, right, okie doke. Some other things that are happening. There's an evening of silent cinema, okay, silent films, I guess. Have you ever seen a silent comedy on the big screen? It's a moment you don't want to miss. Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton and other heroes of the silent film era will be accompanied by genius pianist Stephen Horn. The event will include a Q&A with Stephen Horn, moderated by Simon Tyler from Creekside Vinyl. This is taking place at the Gulbenkian Cinema in Canterbury. That's on the campus of the University of Kent on the 4th of February. So it's a big screen silent cinema. That sounds wonderful. If you want to find out more about it, if you go to the website cultureinkent.org/ an evening of silent cinema. Why can't I say silent cinema? That's cultureinkent.org/ an evening of silent cinema. And check it out. It's happening at the Gulbenkian Theatre on the University of Kent campus on the 4th of February. Right. What else have we got? Oh, this is interesting. I think this is the Times of Tunbridge Wells, because it says entries are now open for the 6th Times Business Awards. And I think it's the Times of Tunbridge Wells Business Awards, which returns this year with 10 category prizes, including an overall Outstanding Business of the Year award up for grabs. Businesses in and around Tunbridge Wells will attend the Black Tie Awards night on March the 30th, hosted by journalist and radio presenter Nick Ferrari. Well, there you go. The winning businesses chosen from those shortlisted for the gala evening at the Science Theatre at Solomon's Estate will be chosen by this year's panel of judges. The judges for 2023 come from a range of sectors, and each has been selected to bring their own unique insight into not only what makes a good company, but also what makes a good business for the local area. Every year, judges read through hundreds of entries to create a shortlist in each category before thrashing out the final winners list in time for the awards evening. Among the new categories is a special award for charities and not-for-profit organisations. If you are at all interested in this and you're in the Tunbridge Wells area, entry forms can be downloaded from the timesbusinessawards.co.uk website, and they must be completed and submitted by February the 20th. So that's the timesbusinessawards.co.uk if you're a business in the Tunbridge Wells area. Do check that out. Right. Okay, we try to avoid bad news if we can, but it's not easy these days with the kind of government we've got and the kind of things that are going on in the world. There's a huge amount of bad news and not a lot of good. If you've got good news, please, please, please let us know. Please send us a message. You can tweet us using the hashtag BBunker, or you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. Either way, but if you've got good news, well, if you've got any news at all about your business, I'm more than happy to receive it. But if you've got good news, especially, do send that in. Sorry, I got messages coming. It's one of the problems with modern technology is there's dozens of ways to contact people, and people contact me by direct message, personal message on Facebook, on WhatsApp, by email, and by Twitter. And I'm trying to kind of weirded my way between all of those, reading them out. But this is the results of a survey, and it's not really good reading, but I think we need to have, you know, be aware of it. Bosses of small and medium-sized firms fear their businesses will not survive 2023 because of the financial crisis, according to new research from Vodafone Business UK. Small business owners across the UK fear that they will be hit by a triple whammy of soaring costs, shortage of labour and dwindling consumer spending, from which they may not recover, Almost three quarters of owners and managers in the survey say they have real fears for the future, with one in 10 saying they may not survive the year at all. The study of small and medium-sized business owners found that rising costs of fuel and power, staff wages, broadband and phones, rents, mortgages and business rates and transport distribution lead their list of concerns going into 2023. To help reduce costs and save money, almost half of all SMEs said they were turning down the heating and switching off lights, while one in four plan to ask staff to work more days from home. According to the study, most small business owners are now working a 46-hour week on average, or 10 hours more than the national average, and that most expect to have to put in even longer hours in 2023 to make ends meet. The research is revealed as Vodafone launches its 12-month free broadband for small businesses offer to help them stay connected and give them one less bill to think about this winter. Yeah, they've kind of left out one of the biggest issues for small businesses, which is rising taxes and increased regulation and form filling, which is added to all the other things that they've identified as being things that are stopping small businesses. I have to say, and this is a bit of a political point, but I don't really care anymore. It can't be incompetence by the government. It must be deliberate. They must be trying to make life difficult for small businesses, because everything they do hurts small businesses, stops investment, stops people growing their businesses, and makes it life much more difficult for everybody. I don't know why they're doing that, but they clearly are. Either that, or they really just are so detached from reality, they don't understand the consequences of the things that they're doing. Mad. Absolutely mad. 17,000 shops closed permanently in the last quarter of 2022. That's 50% up on the previous quarter. It's scary. It's really scary how many businesses are collapsing just under the weight of all of this stuff. Okay. On to something a bit more positive. Maidstone Borough Council are offering a warm welcome in the town centre for residents to pop in. Maidstone Borough Council is opening its doors to offer residents the chance to pop in for a free hot drink and a warm place to be for the day. So this is helping people, I guess, with their heating bills and things like that, and their cost of living problems. Two venues will be used as part of the MBC Community Hub with a warm welcome project, which will be the Maidstone Museum and Trinity. Trinity's an old church just off of King Street. And they open from the beginning of January and will continue right the way through the winter months. The council's community hubs are offering places within the town centre where people can be assured of finding a safe, warm and friendly environment in which to enjoy refreshments, social activity, information and the company of other people. The MBC project starts at the museum from Wednesday the 4th of January and at Trinity on Monday the 9th of January, and will be available to anyone who would like to visit when they are open, and their opening times are as follows. The Maidstone Museum is from 4th of January, that's tomorrow, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. So that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, 10 till 4. The Trinity Community Hub in Church Street, Maidstone, every Monday from January the 9th, that's from next Monday, between 9:30 and 12 noon. Other venues in Maidstone that are offering a warm welcome and space can be found via the website link, which I'll give you in a moment. Home and communities is one of Maidstone Borough Council's four priorities, and the work being carried out at the community hubs with a warm welcome reflects that. If you want to sign up to Maidstone Borough Council's e-newsletter, stay connected to receive vital news and updates via email for these many services and events, or if you want to find out more about these warm hubs, if you go to maidstone.gov.uk/stay connected, that's maidstone.gov.uk/stay connected, and you can find out all about the work of these warm pop-ups in the Maidstone Borough Council area. That's a great initiative, and I know one or two other organisations and councils are doing similar things, offering warm spaces where people can go. Because of the rising cost of energy, amongst other things. Okay, let's have a look here. What have we got? There's a Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable by On a Dog Walk Events, which features Sue and Deb. I think that's Sue Hainsby and Deborah Turner, if I remember correctly. And they say, start 2023 with a to-do list. Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable event, followed by wine tasting and a three-course lunch. Oh, now you're talking. When is this happening, you say? Well, it is at the Balfour Winery, which is 5 Oak Lane, Staplehurst, and it's happening on Thursday the 2nd of February, and it's taking place between 10 and 2:30 p.m. And you can find out all about it, the lineup, the details, the address, and to book your ticket by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar and finding it there. That's the Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable at the Balfour Winery on February the 2nd at 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Okay. Right, let me just check to see if I've got... I've got loads of tweets coming in. Jules is tweeting. Tracy Ferguson, happy new Business Monkey year all. I'm out this afternoon, so we'll look forward to catching up with the replay show. Both guests sounds very interesting. Have a fantastic first show of 2023. Thank you so much, Tracy. That's very kind of you. Let me just reply to Tracy. Thank you. There we go. What else have we got? I think I've read most of those. Okay, I think I'm fairly up to date, but do keep them coming. Right. One more email before... I can do one more email before we join the Channel Radio newsroom. The Locate Industrial Park, just off Junction 8 of the M20, that's at Hollingbourne, is receiving strong interest from the market, with the first occupiers poised to move in. This is a brand new kind of distribution centre and warehouse hub right on the Junction 8, which is by Maidstone Services and the Great Danes Hotel. And it looks like, as you pass it, it looks like a fabulous site. The Locate 8 Industrial Park covers a huge site with most of its units already exchanged or under offer, and will provide jobs in logistics and industrial sectors, as well as a high number of office space roles, thus bringing together a range of different fields and expertise while offering sustainable methods and tools for working. The £47 million new mixed-use business park is on the Asher Road at Junction 8 off the M20. The site is suitable for both small and medium-sized businesses, with room for more than 1,000 employees. Locate is designed to protect nature and enhance sustainability, and the landscape setting will have extensive planting of native woodland and new ponds. With excellent road and public transport links, it's well placed to service Europe's largest consumer market, London and the South East, with nearly 21 million consumers within a 3-hour HGV drive. With the Thames and Channel ports plus Eurotunnel close by, global markets are a short leap away. So do check that out. But for the moment, that's us for the first part of the show. We're now going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrew.